presented by the American Bankers Association.
Hey, good morning. I'm Playbook co-author Rachel Bade. It's Thursday, March 21st, and here's what's driving the day. House Republicans are setting a lofty goal for the next step in their sweeping impeachment of Joe Biden, interviewing the president himself. At the end of yesterday's testy impeachment hearing, Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer said he'd invite Joe Biden to testify in front of the committee. Ian Sams, a White House spokesman, suggested in a tweet that Biden won't be testifying. No surprise there. Sams called the forthcoming invitation a, quote, sad stunt at the end of a dead impeachment. Mitch McConnell threw cold water on the idea of turning Ukraine aid into a loan. We've reported in Playbook that this has been gaining traction within the GOP. The Senate Minority Leader, a major champion of Ukraine aid, argued that there just wasn't time to do this. He said the best way we can help Ukraine is for the House to pass the Senate bill. Also in the Senate, Chuck Schumer's public feud with Israeli leader Benjamin Netanyahu continues to escalate. On Wednesday, Netanyahu blasted the highest-ranking Jewish leader in a virtual meeting with Senate Republicans. Schumer, you'll recall, recently called for new elections to replace Netanyahu in Israel. It's supposed to be a House Republican majority, but Speaker Mike Johnson continues to turn to Democrats to pass legislation. That includes a $78 billion tax bill, a TikTok ban, two stopgap government spending bills, and in the coming days, another federal funding deal. So what gives? Joining me now to discuss his new piece is congressional reporter Nicholas Wu. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Rachel. Thanks for having me.
So why is Johnson doing this, turning to Democrats?
Well, the problem for Johnson is that conservative hardliners, have threatened to tank the rule, the procedural vote that would allow legislation to come to the floor. And so that's why he's using a so-called suspension of the rules, which requires a two-thirds majority in the House to circumvent these folks and to circumvent the Rules Committee, which has conservatives on it, to bring these substantive pieces of legislation to the House floor. And this is what he's done with a bunch of different things, whether it's government funding, these stopgap bills, or even the legislation that came up in the House that could potentially lead to a ban of TikTok.
I can't imagine this is going over well with conservatives or people on the Rules Committee.
This is the kind of thing that really has conservatives fuming at this end run around their influence. The Rules Committee has more conservative folks on it as a way to try to vet bills before they get to the floor. At the same time, it is Democrats gloating in some ways about the wins they've been able to score in this very narrowly divided House.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, when McCarthy became Speaker, one of the big things he gave the conservatives was more seats on the Rules Committee, right? So that they would have more power over legislation. Well, I mean, now Johnson's basically going around them completely to get these things done. So what power do they actually have? But just to turn to Democrats now, because you talk to a lot of Democrats about this. Talk more about how they feel about this influence they're having right now. Do they feel empowered? Do they feel used? What's their thinking on this?
Well, my colleague Daniela and I talked to over a dozen Democratic lawmakers for the story, and the mood generally was that lawmakers were feeling pretty good about what they'd been able to win in this most recent funding fight. Now, of course, they were upset and frustrated with the process and the fact that we're crashing right up against this deadline on Saturday. But all things considered, as members I talked to put it, it could have been far worse. Republicans had originally proposed funding bills that had big cuts to programs that Democrats prized and had conservative policy riders attached that would also be a red line for a lot of Democrats. And for the most part, Democrats kept those out of these bills.
Why don't Democrats just let Republicans sort of flail in their own mess? I mean, they did that with the speakership battle when McCarthy was ousted. Is there anyone who thinks that that's a good idea, or is that something that just doesn't meld well with their brand?
It's something that really, you're right, doesn't really meld well with their brand. Democrats we talked to across the board talked about being the grown-ups in the room or the folks that would vote to fund the government. And I think that's where you really see the difference between the way progressives treat these sorts of funding fights and conservatives. At the end of the day, the Progressive Caucus was not going to vote to shut down the government, especially when the bills that are funding the government are, for all intents and purposes, pretty good for Democrats.
How do you think this might impact Johnson's standing with his own conference? I mean, especially his future in leadership.
It's already tenuous right now, and I think he has made a point of trying to set expectations and manage expectations within his own conference about what would be possible with the, I believe, two-vote majority right now that could shrink even more as Ken Buck resigns at the end of the week. So he's tried to shore up his own standing in that regard. At the same time, this is the kind of thing that has irritated conservatives from the very beginning. Conservatives railed against McCarthy for trying to put together these big funding packages and for violating these rules and for going around conservatives on the Rules Committee. And so it remains to be seen exactly how this will impact Johnson in the coming months. But one thing is for sure, it's going to be hard to get that much more through this Congress.
That leads me to the last question. I was curious, is there a limit to this? The next big thing on Congress's plate is Ukraine aid to Israel and Taiwan. Is there an expectation that Democrats will be there to help these things clear? Or could that be a potential problem? And what's going to happen if they can't rely on Dems for that?
Democrats I talked to really indicated that however these next bills get handled will be a test of the party's unity on funding legislation. We're likely to see Democratic unity or something close to it around these bills to keep the government open. But as we've seen throughout this year and since the war began between Israel and Hamas, the party has deep divides over Israel. And so Speaker Johnson has talked about putting a standalone Israel aid bill on the floor. And we've heard from quite a few progressives who would likely vote against that kind of legislation because they've wanted any sort of Israel aid to go along with potential restrictions on its use or humanitarian aid for Gaza. And so the speaker has talked about turning to this after they get through this funding legislation, and it remains to be seen how exactly this will all be handled in the coming weeks.
Yes, the limits of not being able to rely on your own party, or said another way, the limits of relying on the opposite party. Thanks, Nick, for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much.
And for the rest of your schedule today, the Senate and House are in, of course, trying to finish up work on the latest spending agreement by midnight on Friday. There are still a bunch of procedural hurdles to jump through, but never underestimate the power of tarmac fever in Congress. We feel it as well right now. And this afternoon, President Joe Biden will participate in a campaign reception in the Houston area. I'm Rachel Bade. Thanks for listening.
I'm Rob Nichols, President and CEO of the American Bankers Association. America's banks believe that everyone should be able to enjoy the safety, convenience, and other benefits that come with a bank account. That's why banks of all sizes in the Washington area and across the country now offer low-cost and easy-to-use bank-on certified accounts. To learn more about our goal to get everyone banked and to see if a bank-on account might be right for you, visit aba.com/getbanked.